Welcome to We Are the Watchers.
This is episode 390.
Woo woo.
Top of the day to you, Steph.
Top of the day to you. Freezing cold, isn't it?
That wind, bit of a wind chill factor.
Ooh, it's snowing somewhere. Well, it is actually. It's snowing.
I think I heard that it was going to snow in parts of New South Wales and probably Victoria as well, I would think.
Definitely.
That's fine. I had mulled wine last night.
That is a little bit fancy.
Fire. It was nice.
I had water.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say tea.
Not at night time.
You don't have sleepy time tea?
No.
Oh, it's nice.
Tea, I really enjoy an afternoon tea.
Okay.
Oh,
that's what we're having now.
That just hits the spot for me. Hits the spot.
Yeah, nice cup of tea. You know, if it is the morning of like a weekend and I'm not doing anything, what I do is sometimes when I get up, I just want a cup of tea before a coffee.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, because you just got to get in the cozy vibes.
Really?
Or do you go coffee first?
Always coffee first.
Huh.
And then I'll have a secondary coffee and I'll be like, yeah, that's
enough.
I just wasn't quite finished. And then afternoon is a tea for me.
Tea. Yeah.
Look, I could probably have tea anytime because for me, tea is like water. I could have it with a steak dinner and I'd be perfectly okay.
Yeah. You can tell that you're originally from your genes are from England. I've got a Winona Ryder quiz for you.
Really?
You got a lot of time for that?
I am a bit shocked.
No, it'll make sense once you hear what I've been watching.
Okay.
You'll be like, that makes sense. So it's not really out of left field. It's in the field. This is the field. Yeah. Watched a couple of movies, one older, one newer.
Did you?
Mm.
I watched a couple of docos.
Oh, okay.
Old. They were old. Older. I'll admit it. Okay. They were old. And a new series. A brand new series.
We've been very busy then, obviously. All right. Well, why don't we, because we obviously want to play some Stardew Valley after we record.
Let's see how there is.
We have to get through this right now. It's time for the
news.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
Star Wars.
Full stop.
And that's
onto
it.
The watching
and then
suggestions.
On to the next thing. Ryan Gosling's doing a Star Wars film called Starfighter.
Is he really?
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's not one person I would expect to join the Star Wars franchise.
But I bet you $1 million when this movie comes out, he'll say, oh, I grew up watching Star Wars.
Yeah, 100%.
All of them say, whether they have or not.
Well, not many people have grown up without watching Star Wars.
True.
So,
but there are people who still say, I've never seen Star Wars. And I refuse to give them that reaction now. You know, you've never watched it. I just go, oh, okay, yeah.
You know what? Let's be honest. They're the people who kind of like sing on the bus. You know, they're the weirdos, right?
Really funny. That took me fancy then. And I like that one. That was very good, that one. There's an actress called Mia Goth, and she's also going to be in Star Wars Starfighter. Because you know Star Wars movies, you're like, are you actually going to make it?
Mm.
Is this going to get made? But now that they're actually talking about cast.
That's a big thing. When they've cast it, there's probably a timeline now.
There's a timeline. Yeah. They're actually saying that they're going to film it later this year, so our spring, Northern Hemisphere's autumn. And it should come out.
They don't have autumn.
Fall. Should come out in 2027.
Okay.
News. I'm quite happy about it, to be honest
Ryan
with you.
Ryan Gosling, jump on board.
So he's going to be a pilot, kind of like your Oscar Isaac character, remember, in the later trilogies. Mm-hmm. That's all. That's all I wanted to say. Just wanted to say that this is happening.
I like it. I appreciate Lee keeping us up to date.
It's mainly to keep myself up to date so I don't forget. But I guarantee to you, when we see the first trailer of Star Wars Starfighter, I go, Steph, did you know that there's a Ryan Gosling Star Wars movie?
You'd be like, Ryan Gosling.
I never would have thought he'd be in a Star Wars.
He was never going to be in one, but I bet you he watched Star Wars as a child.
Yeah, so enjoy that conversation later on. Well, in 2027, obviously, when that's going to happen. Regina Hall, what was the last thing you saw her in?
Okay, I'm just going to have to say I can never, as soon as somebody ever says Regina, doesn't matter if it's got Hall after it, I think Regina George from Mean Girls. That's where my brain goes immediately. And then you go, they are very polar people.
One's not real and the other is, but plays non-real characters. Mm. She was in the Scary Movies, right? Or at least one of them that I really liked. And then the next thing I saw her in years later was the 9 Perfect Strangers.
Oh, yeah.
Remember she was one of the characters in that?
Yeah.
I was about to say something. She was one of the people who was in that.
I really want to know what you're going to say.
She is now going to be in a movie called The 5-Star Weekend, so I know what she's doing. Yes, I'll do that film or I'll do that series. Is it in a beautiful like resort? Yes, I'll do it.
Is it in Bora Bora? Okay.
Anything, she's going to end up in a White Lotus series as well. Like she has to. She and Jennifer Garner are going to be in the series called The 5-Star Weekend. It's going to be comedy. Made by Peacock. What kind of makes you think it's going to be comedy, right?
Yeah.
I'll give you the synopsis. Jennifer Garner plays a food influencer known for her delicious recipes, impeccable taste, I'm reading this from Deadline, and warm demeanor, who suffers a devastating loss. You're like, well, where's the funniness in that? Mm. Unable to move forward, the death starts to expose the cracks in her picture-perfect life, her strained marriage, her complicated relationship with her daughter, and her growing pursuit of validation from her followers. Mm. So then she goes, she decides to host a weekend away at her house with 3 friends from different stages of her life, one from her childhood, 20s, and, you know.
I saw a bunch of strangers who were like, oh, great, now I have to go on a weekend away with people I don't know.
Do you know what's the equivalent of? A destination wedding where you don't know anyone except for the bride.
Yeah. You're like, I'll never see you. I'll see you, but I'll never talk to you.
That's the hen's weekend where you're like, I don't like any of your other friends, but now I'm here.
I have to cling on to somebody. Yeah,
so you're the least annoying. Yeah.
And then hope that at the wedding you've seated us next to each other.
Oh, yeah.
Because I've worked really hard to form this fake friendship.
Yeah, I formed it, just to get me through the next couple of celebrations. Right. You know Nadia Hussein? She won Bake Off, maybe the first or second one. So she's been doing lots of TV cooking shows. Yeah. I've watched them. She's really good. Anyway, the BBC has cancelled her latest show.
Losers.
I was really surprised about that. Like I know she's made several series.
Yeah.
And anyway, she went on Instagram and she said the BBC have decided they didn't want to commission a show. And for me, that was a huge turning point because it's something I've done for the past 10 years. I was always ready. She was already on this steady trajectory of change and she was thinking about where she wanted her career to go. And then BBC was like, nah. And she was like, okay.
Feels like they've moved on to.
Everyone's moved on.
Fresher fish.
But it's funny, right, because usually people who are in those cooking competitions or chefs who have made their way onto TV, they just keep doing the show. Like they just keep doing series, like just different ones all the time. And I didn't realize that there was not a space for everyone.
Because they become less of a contestant on a successful show and more of a household name.
Yeah. I mean, you see them the as home judges. Cooks versus, and then they get their own shows and, yeah. Anyway, maybe she'll end up getting another show.
Picked up by someone else.
I really liked watching her stuff. I mean, she was a great contestant as well. She was one of the contestants that you were like, please, please win, please win.
Yeah.
She was really good. So maybe I'll start watching some of the repeats because you can always watch a repeat of a cooking show, can't
especially
you?
Especially Bake Off.
The amount of times we've watched Rick Stein repeats.
Yeah.
It's the same cozy Jamie feeling. Oliver. Jamie Oliver. Mm. I've been watching Jamie Oliver.
Nigella.
Nigella. Jamie Oliver series where it was during lockdown.
Oh, yeah.
I've been rewatching that.
Yeah, nice.
And he keeps going, you know, in a time like this where we're all, you know, he doesn't say that we're all in lockdown, but the wording is changed.
Clever. Basically gives it longevity.
That. Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I think you're right. I think I was about an episode in until I realised. I was like, oh, okay.
We're inside.
I'll watch some more tonight, actually. That'd be a nice cozy thing to watch. But I can't possibly talk about any more things about coziness because we have to get into our watching suggestions.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I don't know if what I've watched is cozy. I wouldn't say it was cozy. Can I start with one?
Yeah, go on. I'm intrigued now.
Because I watched the Beetlejuice sequel.
Oh, yeah, that's not cozy.
It's not cozy, that's but it has a cozy vibe because it reminds you exactly of the
nostalgia.
Original.
Nostalgia.
Yes, exactly. And can I tell you, it has the exact vibe.
Good.
And I feel that it is absolutely phenomenal that they've managed to capture the same vibe. I mean, everything looks the same. Everyone's a bit older, but everything looks the same. Everything feels the same.
Oh, that makes me really happy.
It was good fun.
I mean, I was scared of Beetlejuice. But
yeah, it was scary when we were 10 or yeah. whatever, or probably younger. But now it's not scary. It's funny.
Okay.
And
do you think I need to watch the first one again? Or is it going to give me nightmares again?
Because there were those scary bits where they would open doors. Do you remember? Like Gina Davis and Alec Baldwin would open the door to their house and then they couldn't get out because it was like – it wasn't hell as we imagine it. It was like a big empty desert with a weird snake. That's still there?
Yeah.
A giant snake is there. It's really funny.
I think also as a kid, I obviously didn't understand a lot of it. Mm. So it was scary.
And someone had died, they'd die straight away. And that was a bit scary too, wasn't it? Anyway, I would say, please, if you ever watch Beetlejuice as a kid or if you ever watch Beetlejuice, you're like, yeah, that's a bit crazy. Watch it. It's the second one.
It's amazing.
And when they make the third one, which I think they will, we're all going to be in so much trouble because we're going to have to say the name three times.
Oh, they're doing it.
They're going to do it, right? They're going to.
Are they
going to
call it Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice?
Yes.
We can't do the initials because also that's a bit rude.
You could say
Beetlejuice, Beetle J,
Beetlejuice,
Beetle Puce.
Mm. We're all right, right?
Beetle Moose.
Because you've not been saying it. So
no, I'm okay.
Okay, we're okay.
And this is my thing as a kid. Okay, so if I say two, how long must I wait until I say it again? Because what if I said like, oh, don't say Beetlejuice,
yes,
Beetlejuice.
It's not
hey,
a pause.
Hey, have you seen the Beetlejuice movie? That's three.
How long is the context? Yeah. How long is he counting?
And if I break it up with other words, does that like start you back from zero?
A reset?
Yeah. You know what I mean? These are the things that I thought about as a child. A lot.
But you didn't think it out loud, did you, just in case it was real?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, yeah. Mm. It's like saying Bloody Mary in the mirrors at school. Do you remember?
Yeah, but I don't remember what would happen. A ghost or something would.
She would appear in the mirror. She would appear. Like slaughter you in the toilets, wouldn't she?
But why would she slaughter you in a suburban Sydney school when I think wasn't she from like England or something?
Yeah. And why would she come for me? She doesn't know me.
You don't know her.
She's got nothing against me.
Absolutely done nothing to
nothing.
Her.
I just went to the toilets and there just happened to be a mirror at one end and the other end and a school legend.
I just think she needs to calm down.
Yeah. You need to calm down. Would she just Taylor Swift?
Gosh, Taylor's so true. She's so right all the time.
You're being too loud, Bloody Mary.
Okay, so the setup is Winona is sort of a semi-famous TV host where she can talk to ghosts or, you know, people on the other side.
She's John Edwards.
Yeah, that's right. And she does ghost, like she'd go into people's houses and find the ghosts and that kind of thing. Her mother is a very famous artist, if you remember. And Winona's daughter is Jenna Ortega.
Mm.
And she's just a surly teenager. Yeah, pretty much like Winona. Well, no, Winona was weirder in that first movie. She was a weird teenager. Anyway, things happen. They all end up somewhere and they need the help of Beetlejuice.
Of course they do.
Yeah. It's great. It was great. It was a great movie. I really enjoyed it. I watched it in one go. I watched a whole movie in one go.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. It's almost like that was the intention.
I know. So weird. What have you watched?
I watched the new series on Netflix called Sirens.
Now, this who does this have in it?
This has the main star is Megan Faye, who you would know from White Lotus.
I remember her.
and
in the posters.
Oh my gosh, I've just gone blank. What was the other one with Nicole Kidman at the beach house in?
Oh yeah, with her best friend's husband, right? Lev.
Yes. Sorry, I didn't realize you were talking about Watts. Nicole Kidman's best friend.
Oh, in real life.
Yeah, I was like, she wasn't with her best
friend. Sorry, I didn't end up watching the series.
Whatever that one's called. Perfect Couple. The Perfect Couple. Yeah. She's really good in that. Netflix. She is fantastic in Sirens.
Mm.
Fantastic. You obviously see a huge more of what she's capable of because she carries this series.
Nice.
Whereas with A Perfect Couple and White Lotus, she is, you know, a pivotal character, but there's a huge ensemble.
Oh, massive ensemble.
So this does have...
She gets to shine.
She shines. She is the main character. Yeah. So there's her. There's Millie Alcock, who is an Australian actress. She was in the Game of Thrones spin-off.
Yep.
She
was in that show years ago with what's-his-face with the long hair, Tim Minchin.
Yeah. Yeah. There's also
What's his face with the long hair?
He plays the piano.
Yeah.
He's quite good with like musicals and things.
He's friends with someone called Matilda or something.
So there's also Glenn Howard. And the other biggie is Julianne Moore.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
The name of it made me think it was going to be something completely different. Being Sirens, I thought, oh, okay, like.
Where's Hugh Grant?
Ambulance Sirens. Yeah, those Sirens. Also like. The Sirens of a Mermaid being that is set out on a cliff top.
I wouldn't have
mansion.
Thought of that, but that's really good.
Anyway, ignore all of that because that has nothing to do with it. So what it is a pair of sisters who have had quite a traumatic childhood.
Yeah.
And Megan Faye's character, who's called Devon, she sort of brought up her younger sister. And
is her sister's name Belinda?
Yeah. I want to say yes so badly.
Wasted opportunity.
Really, really wasted. So they recently have become a little bit estranged, more sort of calling each other but just not really in each other's lives. And their father is he's very depressed and he's got dementia and it's getting worse. And Devon's sort of like, I can't do this by myself. I need you to help me. You're not answering the phone, so I'm just going to turn up where you work. And she is the personal assistant of a billionaire's wife and, you know, runs the household and runs not the businesses but essentially everything that she's a part of, and gets to this enormous mansion. It's like essentially an estate on this island, and it's a beautiful, beautiful place, and the sister is running everything, like putting on all these events for the whole weekend, and all the staff
busy.
Really busy, and all the staff, I guess you'd say, only just accept her, but they all have a whole staff WhatsApp group that she's not a part of. And so as she's talking, you hear ding, and all the staff, like the gardeners, the cooks, the maids, everyone, they all get their phone out and laugh. And she's like, I know you're texting about me. Would you stop? Like, get off WhatsApp. And they're like, what? I don't know what it is.
Just...
So she has, to get this job, she has completely changed her persona, the way she looks. She's, you know, beautiful cookie cutter, everything. And the sister is old tattoos, drunk every night, you know, short cut off denim jean, black denim jean shorts. Boots.
Almost got a bit of a Natasha Lyonne in Poker Face kind of vibe going on, it sounds like.
Yeah, pretty much, because she walks in and she's like, what are you doing? Dressed in like florals and a headband, that sort of thing. Anyway, there's this very interesting storyline that I don't want to give any of it away, but that is just the very, very beginning, and all sorts of things happen. Julianne Moore, as I said, is the billionaire's wife. She's obsessed with this personal assistant, and you just, for a long time, you're wondering, like, what is the connection?
What's
like,
going on?
Does someone owe somebody something? Is there a backstory that we're not quite sure of? And it all starts to unravel and fall to pieces, and it is captivating. Mm. It was one that I couldn't stop watching, and I was really enjoying it.
That's
good. I think you'd like it. It is, without being sort of Agatha Christie and that whole bringing a detective and a murder's happened
and everybody's in the room together.
It's not like that, but it's got some sort of a feeling where all these strange characters who are slightly connected to each other are all there. They all get kind of piled into the same thing and you're like, all right, deal with it, you guys. And it has that sort of feeling. And there's a bit of a mystery.
Okay.
So it's a fun one. It's good.
It sounds really
good. Yeah, it's not heavy, not scary.
I thought it would be heavy, more drama focused.
It is drama focused, but the comedy in it is really well written.
Okay.
Really well done. Mm. Snipes from the characters that you burst out laughing.
Oh, that's nice.
It's good. Each character is so different, but well entwined.
Okay.
It's good. It's fun.
Well, no wonder they're sort of pushing it, because it sounds like, I mean, the fact that Julianne Moore's involved,
I know.
I kind of feel like once you see that kind of
Else is there? Kevin Bacon.
Oh, okay.
He's the billionaire. Oh, and it takes a couple of episodes, I think, before you see him.
Oh, really?
And then you're like, of course Kevin Bacon's in this.
Okay. It makes so much sense. Okay. Okay. Sirens. It's not about Norman Lindsay.
It's not.
It's American.
It's not about mermaids either.
No, it's not.
No.
Well, I don't know, but from what you're saying, it's not. Okay. Logan's Run is a movie that I have rewatched. Mm. I think I watched it in the 90s probably. You know when you're homesick from school?
Yeah.
And something is on TV and you're like, oh, this is really weird, but I can't stop watching it. So this
is a midday movie.
It is. It's 100% the midday movie. It's from 1976. It stars Michael York, who you would know from, he was, I think if memory serves, he was Austin Powers' boss in the Austin Powers movies.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And the rest of it, the people, I didn't really recognize. But it's a science fiction movie. It's set in the future. It's probably set now or earlier. No. I think it is. I can't remember the actual year it is, but it's just the future, right? And he is in this underground city where once you turn 30, you basically have to die, but they don't call it die. You get like elevated or something. Like you go to you go to heaven and it's beautiful, that kind of thing. But there are a few people within the society who don't want to say goodbye to their life at the age of 30, so they keep trying to escape.
Yeah.
And they've got, you know, like security guards or police from this underground city, this underground society who have to try and stop them from escaping, and he's one of them. Until he meets this girl who kind of gives him reason to question the point of this society. And so they go off to see if there is this other world outside. Is there a world outside? What is there outside? And it's basically them just going on an adventure to find outside. I tell you what, almost every single scene I'm like, this could be a video game. This could be a video game.
So it's dangerous to leave, to get out?
Yes. Yeah. And also they're just not equipped for anything outside of this city that they live in. And when I say city, it's like a Blade Runner or our city where you go, you walk out and you can see other buildings. This is all inside. It's almost like a massive underground shopping center kind of place. Like it's massive. And I'm so surprised that this has not been remade. I looked it up a couple of times. I was like, surely they've remade it. I can't find it.
Interesting.
I'm also surprised it hasn't been made into a video game because, you know, back in the day, for example, like E.T. or like Indiana Jones, Ghostbusters, the things that were popular would be made into video games. The video games were never that good, right?
Yeah.
They were fine, but they were never that good.
Yeah.
But then they started making video games into movies and they weren't really good.
Yeah.
And now they're doing video games into movies and series and they are good, right?
Yes.
But I'm wondering, could they make Logan's Run into a video game, which would be really good, and then they could make it into another movie again? Like if you get a Naughty Dog or someone like that to make it.
Yeah.
It was a cool premise
too. No one's thought about it.
Well, I'm putting it out there. Steph and I don't have the time to do that. We don't have time to figure out how to make a video game.
I don't know that my old Mac is really equipped for
it. No, I don't think this Mac is either. I don't think so. But
I mean, I could try.
We could try and get that game Dreams on the PlayStation and make it in there, because that was a game about making games.
Yeah, cool.
And then we could make Logan's Run.
But then we're trying to make a movie.
Oh, we could do it on our phones though, right?
Yeah, I've got a video.
Perfect. Okay, maybe we can do it. Sorry,
I've got a video camera.
We can do it. We're just time poor. We're just being lazy. Who's got time to sleep, right? What else have you watched?
So I watched two documentaries on Amazon Prime. I'm going to talk about both of them very, very quickly because they're not really worth too much more conversation.
It's just a heads up.
It's just a heads up. Okay. So the first one I watched, and neither of them are new. So
neither was Logan's Run. Yeah, I won though, right? 1976?
True. Oh, yeah, 100%. Okay, so the first one I watched was about the Costa Cordonia, which is the cruise ship off the coast of Italy.
That's right.
That capsized.
What, about 10 years ago?
About 10 years ago. Yeah. Now I've forgotten what year it was, but it was a while ago.
It doesn't matter.
So it's a bit of a doco. It feels like it was made about not long after it happened, because the people, the passengers still looked quite young, mm-hmm. you know, for how long it was.
Logan's Run is set in the year 2274.
Oh, that's why they're waiting. Yeah. They're waiting. They're holding off.
So I just had to tell you.
Yeah, to do it in the real year.
Okay.
Yeah. So it, obviously filmed back then.
So what, they had staff?
They had staff, a dancer,
guests?
Couple of musicians, a couple of guests. No one that seemed to be of a high up rank, as in like cruise director, or obviously didn't have the captain, but a few people.
He's
like
busy.
That. So, but it was really interesting, even though it's an old one, it was interesting to see, you know, they had maps of this is the direction it was supposed to go, this is where it went, so why it went over that way. It was just ridiculous.
It was a bit weird, was it?
The whole thing, it didn't go too much into, I guess, the conspiracy of the captain. Mm. But maybe he was still kind of under trial, I'm thinking. But they did allude to it. So they said that, you know, some of the guests said, oh, we saw the captain at dinner and he was with this young woman, and we left the dining room 3 hours later and he was still there. And I mean, you know, without trying to be controversial or disrespectful, Italians eating, they're probably going to be drinking, aren't they? So they were alluding to the fact that he was probably drinking that whole time.
That's a bit naughty. I wouldn't think they'd be allowed to, right?
I don't think they are. But they're also not allowed to divert the course and drive directly into rocks.
No, so, it's usually not something, you know, allowed.
The thing that was really interesting in it was the captain was one of the first people to leave the ship in a life raft.
No, we've all seen Titanic. We know what was supposed
captain
to happen.
Captain has to go down. He has to be the last person. He has to account
Dido
for everybody.
Dido sang about that. I will go down with the ship. She knew.
I mean, it's naval law, isn't it?
Yeah.
So he was one of the first to go. There were other awful things where, because it had capsized on its side, all the life rafts on the side that was raised couldn't actually drop down because of the angle of the boat. It just kept getting caught. Oh, and so all these people are, not having a great time there. But what was really interesting was they had the audio recording of the Coast Guard screaming at the captain, because he was like, since you went off course and you have capsized, that boat is now under my charge.
Oh,
and you listen to me. And he's like, get back on the ship, climb up that rope ladder, and you get on there and you tell me how many people were still on there. And he's just couldn't answer. He was like, oh, but, you know, giving excuses.
On.
And he'd gone off and went into a hotel and people were still on the boat, like fighting for their life, getting picked up by helicopters, and he had ditched it. How bad's that, right? Anyway, that in itself is worth watching this little doco. The second one that I watch might interest you a little bit. You might even know of it, but it's called Sensitive, and it actually features Alanis Morissette.
Really?
Yeah. And Amazon Prime is featuring her as the person of it, but she's just one person interviewed. But it's about a psychologist who went through a whole huge amount of research to figure out that sensitivity is a personality trait in humans, and a lot of the time sensitive people may have been misdiagnosed as on the autism spectrum or having Asperger's or other sorts of disorders, when actually it's a personality trait. And people who are highly sensitive, and they call themselves the HSPs, highly sensitive person. She's one that they have felt really misunderstood their whole life because they just can't cope with certain situations. There was one person talking about they could never learn to swim because they had always been told as a child, careful of the water, don't go near there, you're going to drown, da, da, da. And then it's like, okay, get in the water and put your head under, learn to swim. And they were like, I just can't cope with all of this.
I wasn't sure if you were going to say they didn't like the feeling of being covered in water.
Some of them are like that, and I think that's why it probably gets confusing. Misdiagnosed.
So what's Alanis's?
Alanis was highly emotional and not being able to, you know, for her it was feeling situations and reacting. So she cried a lot as a kid and her parents never knew what to do with her. And she said, what was really hard for me was when I started to get great success from the fruit of my highly sensitivity-ness, that then people didn't want me to react and they didn't want me to be highly sensitive, but that's what was making me successful. And I was trying to deal with all of this. And she said, but the good part of it was that she could go out on stage and she would say, you know, the first few chords would start and she would just get this rush of relief because she knew what she was doing and she felt okay. And she said she knew she had other HSPs in the audience.
Who can relate to her?
They would relate to her and they would be bawling their eyes out and crying while she was singing. And she'd say, I would just look in their eyes and I knew what they were feeling. And so they're great empaths, highly sensitive people. And this doco felt really old and I'm sure research has moved on, but it was still quite interesting
to just never thought about that.
Something else about human personality traits.
That's cool. And it lasts for a set.
And she's in it, yeah.
Do you believe that she would be okay if we moved on from her and went to a quiz about someone else?
Yeah, probably, but we could come back to her another day.
Okay. This quiz is about Winona Ryder because she was in Beetlejuice.
I wonder if she's highly sensitive.
Maybe.
They do say they're quite creative. So it would make sense.
Yeah, when you were talking about Alanis, we've come back to her anyway.
Yes, there you go.
The word, like her, the lyrics and the subject title, the subject matter in her, I was going to say book. Has she written a book?
I don't know.
Anyway. Her songs are very, that she taps emotive into stuff that you don't, a lot of people don't think about until they hear that song. Like, I've never thought about that, but so true. I feel that as well.
Or have thought about but never vocalised.
Yes, never put it into more than just that acorn of a thought.
Or ever expressed it to another person. Yep. But you're like, she just said exactly how I feel as a person.
Oh, Winona, we think we might like Alanis more. Is that?
It's okay, we can.
Okay.
But we'll do a quiz just to make her feel a bit happy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to read you the synopsis of these Winona films and you've got to tell me what the film is.
Okay, do it.
And if, like, bonus points if you feel like playing the year game.
Stop.
You know, we do that often, don't we? We like it.
Yeah, but I guess a lot.
Okay, yeah, I know. Nina is a talented but unstable ballerina on the verge
Black
of
Swan.
Star. What year do you reckon?
2008.
God, you were so much closer than me. 2010. I thought it was like 2004 or something.
I felt a bit later than that. I'm
going to be honest with you, don't remember too much about that movie. Definitely don't remember Winona's in it. Isn't that funny?
She is the
older one. Okay,
ballerina
that is
who's
her.
On her way out and not coping.
I remember the character, don't remember Winona. Sorry. But Alanis is not in it.
Oh, wonder if one of her songs is in the background.
Maybe sometimes. Never quite enough.
Yeah.
Directionless teenager Susanna is rushed to Claymore, a mental institution.
Yeah, she is. And she meets Elizabeth Moss and Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
It's Girl, Interrupted.
It is.
Yeah, I know, right?
And you know what? Couldn't be bothered to put the comma in, even though I noticed the comma. I was like, I can't be bothered. I'm the only one who's going to be reading it. Well done.
Thanks.
Yeah?
I don't know. 1999.
Shut up.
Did I get it right? I got a comma and a year right. Ding, 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 ding. Quiz over. Steph's the winner of the world.
Oh, guess what? I've missed number three. We've only got five questions. Oh. Okay, is that all right?
Well, I got the year.
Yeah, okay.
So that's number three.
So we're really doubling them
up
already.
Yeah, yeah.
At Westberg High, where cliques rule, jocks dominate, and all the popular girls are named...
Heather. Mm. Yes, I'm so glad it was that one because I couldn't think of another high school movie.
Mm, same, actually. Oh, year? Because we watched it after it was out. Like, yeah. We watched it well after it was out.
I want to say 89.
Yes, shut up.
I'm really
this
impressed.
This is really weird.
I'm really impressed because, Leah, in my head, I was bouncing around between 1990. Is it 87? Is it?
That's really good.
Okay, quiz over.
In the 1980s in Indiana, a group of young friends witness supernatural forces and secret government exploits. As they search for answers, the children unravel a series of extraordinary mysteries.
Stranger Things.
Mm-hmm. I didn't put a year in because it's still going, but it's 2016. It started.
Really?
Mm.
Really? Okay.
So that 9 years later, they're going to finish it. They're finishing it this year, right? Have they already finished it?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. I feel like I've lost the plot of Stranger Things.
I bowed out. I have to say, during a season.
I think you only got up to season three.
Yeah.
Last one. An unconventional single mother relocates with her two daughters.
Mermaids. Cher.
Yeah. What year?
And Christina Ricci.
Yes.
What year? Yeah. Golly. 94?
It was 1990. 94, she would have gone on to Reality Bites, I reckon.
Yeah, okay.
Mm.
She had such a heyday, didn't she?
Mm.
Like she made massive hit after massive hit
Edward
for Scissorhands,
a really long time. Yeah, lots of movies. Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah.
Marnie said she was in Lucas, which I don't remember, but that was that movie with Corey Haim in it and Charlie Sheen.
Gosh, she's a bit talented, isn't she?
I'm glad she does Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I hope she does more things outside of Stranger Things. Could you imagine her hanging out in a remake of another famous thing? I'm like kind of thinking like your Beetlejuice, your Ghostbusters kind of thing. Could she be in a remake or like a reboot of something like that? That would be fun.
Like what? Heathers?
No, I've just – okay, bear with me. Death Become Her.
Who would she be?
Now I'm scared for her because you've got Academy Award winning Meryl Streep and – Goldie Hawn. Okay.
Feel like Meryl Streep and Goldie Hawn could still do it themselves. I want to see that Death Becomes Her on stage.
Oh, that would be good.
Mm-hmm.
She could play Bruce Willis.
Okay.
I was trying to figure who the other person is. What was that movie? It had Bette Midler and a few other people in it. Did it have Goldie Hawn? No, it had Sarah Jessica Parker. It was like the First Wives Club.
First Wives Club, yeah.
She'd be funny in that. You could go a different angle, do something a bit different.
Sarah Jessica Parker. Who else was in it? Diane Keaton.
That's right. Skivvy lady. She always wears skivvies. Okay, we'll have a think about that. And, of course, if you have any ideas as well, please let us know in the places that you can find us. A book arrived today.
It did.
From Penguin Books. So you're going to...
I'm going
to
read it.
We're not going to talk about it now because we've literally just looked at it and that's it. But you're going to have a read.
I'm going to have a read.
We'll give you a little, not a clue, we'll just give you a little sprinkle of info. It's described as a cozy Japanese novel.
So, by the author of the Travelling Cat series?
Yes. Yeah, Chronicles or something like that. I hadn't read it before, but...
No, nor have I, but I'm in.
Yeah. This could be the beginning.
You got a cat? I'm in.
Yes, thank you. You can put a cat on your lap and have a read about a cat. Yes. I think we were so good, particularly you, in that Winona Ryder
really
quiz. That was
quiz.
Sensational. Stephanie, on that note, thank you very much.
Can we put the heater on now?
Yeah, it's a bit cold.
Freezing.
We've got what, Stardew Valley. Kettle as well. We need another tea.
Yeah, definitely.